Thanks for listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Boom! What up, America? Doug Gottlieb Show. Fox Sports Radio. Coming to you from the City of Angels, the Doug Gottlieb Show is brought to you by Farmers. At Farmers, we've seen almost everything, so we know how to cover almost anything. When it's game time, have an experienced player help you stay in the game. Put their experience into play at Farmers.com.
We are Farmers. Bum, ba, dum,
bum, 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 bum. All right, load up the phone lines. 877-99 on Fox. Is Eli Manning a Hall of Famer? Yes or no? Hit me at Gottlieb Show. Is Eli... I'm kidding. I'm not doing survey radio. No disrespect to others that are having this, I guess, legitimate discussion, but we'll There's one part of the discussion which is not being had. We'll get to that upcoming in about 20 minutes. Charles Robinson going to join us, senior NFL writer for Yahoo Sports. We'll get his thoughts on, is Eli Manning a Hall of Famer? But I saw this from Sharp Football Analysis, and it's Warren Sharp, who has a website. We've had Warren on before. He's very, very good. And he's trying to use analytics and analysis to see if the Dolphins are not bad. We would all agree they're bad, right? If they're the worst team of all time, and maybe more than importantly, and this is the big thing, we know they're bottoming out. But are they unloading so many players? Are they going to be so non-competitive that they create an atmosphere that it's almost impossible to recover from? Right? That's really the impetus. The Dolphins have a minus 92 point differential after 2 weeks. That's tied for the worst of all time. Miami's in clear tank mode, and as Warren Sharp continues to point out, which has been known, but it might be fair to wonder if the pendulum can swing too far from the Dolphins. The Browns went 0-16 in 2017. Their poor differential after the first 2 weeks of the season was minus 17. They finished the entire season minus 176. Remember, the Browns didn't recover the very next year. They was the year before they won one game. So there does get to be a culture which is so hard to recover from that it took them a couple of weeks last year, took them half the season last year to kind of snap out of it. And they're not as bad, not as far along as the Dolphins are. We're only 2 weeks in. Right, people make the Browns out this year to be some reclamation project. They were 7-8-1 last year. They got beat by the Titans and looked sloppy against the terrible Jets team. And I would say that, look, yesterday we pointed out Baker Mayfield hasn't been great, but one of the points which should be made is, hey, the 18 first game penalties are more a sign of the culture which they've tried to rid themselves of. But you can't just, this is not like Men in Black where you take the neuralizer and you press the button and everybody forgets everything. That's hard to do. The Dolphins are on pace to allow 816 points, most ever. The current record is 533 by the Baltimore Colts in 1981. Should be pointed out that the Dolphins are not just bad. The Dolphins are 0-2 at home. Right? Like, I'll grant you, they're going to play the Jets twice, but they got to play the Jets on the road. They got to play the Pats on the road. They still have 8 road games to be played. The first 2 games of the year being played at home are not only beneficial because you're at home, but in Miami... And I think Bill Belichick actually talked about this yesterday's press conference. He said it's the hottest they've ever been on the sideline. The way in which that stadium, Dolphin Stadium, is built, it has, you know, just the roof over the field is open. And in the fall, early fall sun, you're like insects under a magnifying glass. They get the benefit of the other team being at like 130 degrees, and they still have given up 92 points, have been beaten by 92 points, point differential, in the first two games. They've allowed 60% conversion percentage on third down. Current record is 49.6%. They're on pace to allow 14,476 yards, more than two times the current record, which is 7,042 by the 2012 Saints. And so there's a legit concern there. This could be the worst team of all time. And the worst team of all time, that takes longer to recover than normal. That's Warren Sharp's hypothesis, right? All of this is hypothesis. I don't remember a ton about science, but I do remember there's a difference between a hypothesis and a theory. A theory is one which has actually been tried out. My guess is they'll be fine. Because they have six first-round picks in the next 2 years. Six. Five second-round picks, four third-round picks. These in the next 3 years. Excuse me. Six first-round picks, five second-round picks, four third-round picks. And people are saying, like, wait, look, is all of this for a quarterback? No. It's not just for a quarterback. We all know the salary cap is going to shoot up, and they've been dumping salary cap. We know that. So they'll be able to pick and choose. And, oh yeah, by the way, as much as there seems to be a culture which is going to set in of losing, it allows Brian Flores, their head coach. If you can hang tough during these times, if you can fight for your position, fight for your teammates, everybody in this room is not going to be around. But we know who wants to be here based upon how they play during these dire circumstances. To people who say this has never happened before in the NFL, they're right. But this is exactly what the 2013 Houston Astros look like. Go back and look. Non-competitive, in the conversation of worst team in the history of baseball. No one watched, no one cared. They were the laughingstock, and they were the process. Go back and look at the Philadelphia 76ers. Some people choose to just paint the walls. Like my wife and I, we've owned, I think it's 8 houses. And with every house we buy, the first thing she does is, let's just paint everything. Because you put a new coat of paint on something and it looks brand new. It's amazing. She's right. It's amazing what it looks like. Some people just choose to do a bathroom, choose to do a kitchen. But if you want to do it right and you can afford to do it, and you have the time to do it, you get it to the studs. Don't just take down one wall, take them all down. Build it right from the ground up. And the Dolphins have been much like the New York Knicks. They've been much like so many of these other big-name sports franchises, constantly searching, chasing the ghosts of the past, trying to redo things on the fly. And yeah, their doctors screwed up with the Drew Brees thing. They did. They were going to get Drew Brees, and the doctor's like, yeah, I don't know about that shoulder. Oops. And Nick Saban bailed on him. They got Chad Pennington way too late. They haven't had the dude at quarterback. Ryan Tannehill couldn't stay healthy and probably never was the dude. They just haven't been able to get it right as they've tried to fix the quarterback position. Last year, they tried to fix the culture. Now they're going to just try and fix it all. Sell off all the pieces, declare Chapter 7, reformulate, come back, and build it from the ground up. Is it painful? Sure. Does it take time to relearn and rebuild a winning culture? Absolutely. And though we have never seen this in the history of the National Football League, we watch it in baseball. How are the Houston Astros doing? Not bad, right? And they did it mostly draft picks, and then they sprinkled in free agents and some trades like the Justin Verlander one, correct? We see with the Philadelphia 76ers. Doug, they haven't won NBA Finals. So? They went from being non-competitive, laughing stock in the league, to a legit threat to win an Eastern Conference championship every year. And they're trying to figure out, you know, how to get Ben Simmons to take the next step. And to anybody who says, well, Ben Simmons can't, like, Ben Simmons has played 2 years in the NBA. That's it. Oh, yeah. I know he's been in the NBA for three, technically won his rookie of the year in his second year in the league. He's been in the league for 2 years. It's not fun to be a part of. It's not fun to watch, to be a fan of. And yes, it feels like, oh my God, this is the worst team I've ever seen, and they might just be. And you have a rookie coach that may not know exactly how he's supposed to do what he's supposed to do. But the idea that they're just doing this for a quarterback, that's not right. They're going to rebuild an entire team. They're not done wheeling and dealing. The salary cap will spike. They'll add some pieces. They'll have a ton of draft picks. And look, you gotta get lucky in terms of what quarterback you take. But they got an entire year to invest in identifying who they're going to get and where they're going to get him and who they're going to surround him with. But this stuff works. And to anyone who thinks it doesn't, I can give you other sports or even the Raiders of last year. It doesn't mean the Raiders are going to win a Super Bowl this year. But they dealt away for multiple picks and they're rebuilding their culture. They obviously made a terrible acquisition with Antonio Brown, but they got out of that without spending a dime. And the Raiders are on a 3-year plan, so they feel like they can roll out in Las Vegas next year and be competitive. And that seems like a reasonable thing to expect 12 months from right now. So Warren Sharp's not wrong. Their culture is going to be a mess. It's going to be hard to dig out. They might well be the worst team of all time. But if you think that culture stays and stands and is impossible to come back from, I give you the Astros. I give you the Sixers. That's where this plan stems from, and that's where I think the Dolphins are going. All right, coming up next, NFL insider Charles Robinson joins the show. Does he think the Dolphins are too far gone? What do they say in Tropic Thunder? Never go full Dolphins. See what I did there? I changed a word. Very important word. Never go full Dolphins. Plus, does he think Eli Manning deserves, one, to be benched, two, to be in the Hall of Fame? We'll discuss next.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at noon Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
We roll on here on the Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Charles Robinson is a senior NFL reporter for Yahoo Sports. Follow him on Twitter at Charles Robinson. And check out Yahoo Sports NFL podcast. It's a good one. It's on my queue, or in my queue, on my queue. What do you guys go with, Ramos?
I go
in my queue. Yeah, because it's in line, right? What do you think, music in or on cue?
It's got to be in.
Yeah, I would agree. Charles Robinson is also in our queue here on Fox Sports Radio, right? So punch him through. You're okay with in the queue, right? Like your podcast is in my queue.
Listen, man, I don't care how you listen to it. I just appreciate the download.
No, but it's interesting. Like queuing that's British for like line, or European for lining up. And only since podcasts have come into our world do we actually use that in a common expression in the States. So I don't know. I feel more sophisticated. I'm going to say you're on the telly, and when I go upstairs to see my boss, I'm going to get on the lift. Anyway.
Doug.
Yes.
Doug.
Yes.
I went to a state school, man. I went to Michigan State. All right. Queuing,
is that, by the way, I felt like John L. Smith was coaching Michigan State when they had 12, when they kicked the game-tying field goal, and then all of a sudden, Spencer Tillman starts doing the math, and he's like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, that's 12 guys. As a Spartan, what was that like to watch?
It is difficult that we're back in this place again. You know, you felt like maybe, we've never recovered since getting destroyed in the college football playoff a couple of years ago. It's just never been right since then. But yeah, the replay was fantastic. Like just sitting there and being like, okay, dude, there's clearly 12 guys. You don't have to go through the whole thing again.
I even felt like Spencer was like being nice. He was like, well, maybe there's 11. Nope.
He tried. Yes. He tried. He was like, maybe there's not. I'm like, look, I'm looking at the screen right now. It's clearly too many people.
that seemed like a sorority picture. There's so many people in it. Okay, let's get to the NFL. What's your reaction first to Eli being benched? Not just being benched. We thought that would come, but 2 weeks into the season.
I'm not surprised, but only because, you know, I went through New York in early August and I had a chance to have dinner with someone from the Giants. And, you know, he told me then, he said, look, Daniel Jones is way ahead of where we thought he would be in terms of absorbing the offense, being able to process it. They felt really good about him. This was before, I think at that point he played like one preseason game. He looked pretty good, but it was before he really continued to show, like, hey, one game after another in the preseason that he was able to handle what they were putting on him. From what I had heard, you know, it wasn't really a training wheel session from the point he got in there after the draft, that they really tried to see how much, you know, he could take on. And I just remember him saying to me, look, the kid's got it between the ears. Like, he's picking this up without any kind of a problem. You know, and he basically just said to me, we're going to start with Eli, but we know where the arrow is on Eli. It's pretty flat, you know, but let's see how the season starts. The season gets off to a good start. Obviously, that's going to help Eli to maintain, you know, that starting position. But I think what happened was they looked at the offensive line and they said, okay, it's serviceable. It's actually blocking a little bit better than we thought. You know, it's better than it was last year. But you get off to an 0-2 start. Still, they like what they're seeing from Jones. I just feel like they thought this is the opportunity to get him in here. We're not seeing this as a season that's going to turn around. We need to figure out how are Jones and Barkley going to work, you know, together, and then what pieces do we need to start to map out to accentuate around these two guys the next 10 years.
Well, he's handled it like a champ, and he said, you know, nobody died. I'm still going to be here. Any chance somebody calls, you know, like his old boss in Jacksonville, somebody else says, hey, well, let's give Eli one more shot to play?
I think, is there a chance that Tom Coughlin makes that call? I wouldn't rule it out. I don't think the Giants want to move Eli unless Eli, you know, I think if Eli went to John Mara and said, look, I would like a chance to continue to be a starter somewhere. So if someone calls, can you please give me that opportunity to potentially go elsewhere and start some games? And I think John Mara, out of respect, I think John Mara would grant that if that's what Eli wanted. But again, I think that's a conversation and a emotion that he has to express to John Mara. Otherwise, I don't think John Mara is going to be inclined to move Eli, you know, at least, you know, out of his own impulse to do that. Now, the Jaguars, you know, let's see what happens. I think the Jaguars have the talent to turn around this 0-2 start, and I think they're sitting there and going, look, if we can figure out a way to work Eli into the picture the remainder of the season, you know, let's do that. But again, I don't think it would only be – it's an odd situation because they'd have to look at Eli and say, look, we're going to – Foles is our guy. You know, he's going to be our guy next year. We actually feel pretty good about Gardner Minshew. You know, so really, you just be coming here to finish out the season for us. And then you can do what you want in the offseason. You want to continue your career, you know, then you'll have the opportunity to do that. We'll make sure that, you know, you can go elsewhere and play. But that's a lot of moving parts behind the scenes, and it's really got to start with Eli expressing the Giants ownership. I do want to go start elsewhere if I have that opportunity.
Is he a Hall of Famer?
I think he is. I do. I don't know that, you know, I've seen some guys express that they think he's like a first ballot Hall of Famer. I don't have a Hall of Fame vote, but I know a lot of the people who vote, you know, and I know what those conversations are typically like in that room. I have to believe that, you know, the two Super Bowl wins, the fact, you know, they weren't number one seeds. I mean, they were, you know, wild card teams that, you know, were able to run the table to win Super Bowls. The fact that they beat the Patriots memorably twice in those runs, and that, you know, Eli Manning was a Super Bowl MVP twice. I think he's done enough to be a Hall of Fame caliber quarterback. But again, you know, I don't have that vote, and, you know, I hear some people out there saying, well, if you put him in, then you got to put Edelman in. Yeah, I don't know. I think quarterback is a position, again, that draws a premium, and I was there for the, you know, the Tyree catch, and people forget, before the Tyree catch, it took Eli Manning getting out of the grasp of Richard Seymour to throw that ball in the first place. He beat an undefeated Patriots team that otherwise would be considered the best team ever to play in the NFL. That to me means a lot.
Yeah, I don't understand. I've heard the similar arguments, not just, you know, I've heard Andre Iguodala, like, no, your quarterback of a team, you are judged by wins or losses.
Right.
So it is in fact different. Charles Robinson joining us, senior NFL reporter, Yahoo Sports. Check out the Yahoo Sports NFL podcast. You mentioned the Jaguars. What do you think they ultimately do with Jalen Ramsey?
I think he'll get dealt. I really do. Let me put it this way. I'd be stunned if they can get two first round picks out of him. I would be pretty stunned. But I do think that there is going to be a team that will offer probably a first round pick, a modestly decent second pick, and maybe a player to potentially get this done. I don't want to say who, but you know, I've had a chance to reach out to a couple of teams that are typically active in the trade market, and one of which was active in the Jadeveon Clowney market. And what was interesting to me was this individual from this team said to me, like, it's a different calculus than Jadeveon Clowney. Different, you know, the different position, the fact that you do have some control with him for a couple of years, although they would probably look to extend him. I think, you know, he's clearly on the market out there. Teams still look at him like we looked at him two seasons ago, that he is that elite level, maybe best cornerback in the NFL, given the right locker room, you know, a winning situation. That makes me a little nervous that you need that to deal for the guy. But I feel like there's enough interest there by parties that typically get deals done that he'll probably get traded, I think, within the next – I'd be surprised if he was still on that roster, say, 7 to 10 days from now.
The Miami Dolphins were one of those teams active in the Jadeveon Clowney kind of sweepstakes. We saw this from Warren Sharp's website, which he questioned whether or not the Dolphins – can recover. You know, like, everyone knows what they're doing, but they're on pace to be so bad we haven't seen this before. Now, we've seen in other sports, the Astros in 2013 were so non-competitive that they got a 0.0 on their local TV ratings. Local TV rating was, like, unheard of. 76ers, 3 years of non-competitive basketball. But football is different, and I'm wondering if you think they're on a path where, I mean, even the Browns, like, they're still shaking some of the cobwebs of the past with all their expectations. How hard do you think it's going to be for them to recover from this level of ineptitude?
Well, it's a very long – I mean, I don't know who thinks that this is going to happen quickly. You know, I mean, you're talking – this is a decade-long process. The way that they're stripping this down completely, and I think the only way that it's not a decade-long process – we kind of joked on the podcast. I joked, like, hey, they better be ready to have, like – some Pittsburgh Steelers, you know, 1970s drafts where you're getting a couple of Hall of Famers in one of these, you know, drafts. You can have a million picks. Jimmy Johnson always said it best, you know, and he made the comparison to the Colts. You know, they traded Herschel Walker, got a boatload of picks. Well, people forget that, you know, the when the Rams and the Colts traded, you know, the Rams ended up with a boatload of picks as well for Eric Dickerson. And it's really, you know, what happened? Nothing. Like, they weren't able to produce what they needed to produce, you know, the way the Cowboys were. So you go back and you look at the Browns. I mean, they had a boatload of picks, and just a ton of them were total busts. So it's going to come down to, you know, your scouting, your leadership, you know, Will Greer, basically your personnel department going out and picking the right guys. That's going to depend on how long of a you know, curve you're talking about before you can get back on your feet. I just think it's bad when, hey, quarterback, you got to replace that guy. Left tackle, you got to replace that guy. And, oh, by the way, probably the remainder of the line as well. You know, you need another cornerback. You need every position that you and I have spent years talking about football teams needing these cornerstone positions. They literally have to hit on, like, every single one of these to get back to, you know, being a competitive football team, a playoff-level football team. You tell me where that hasn't been a 10-year process to just completely refill all these positions. As you said, Cleveland looked like they did it. Okay, well, Cleveland threw two games. We'll see. They've got some pieces there, but I wouldn't say that they're, you know, off and running the way we thought they would be this season.
Charles Robinson joining us on the Doug Gottlieb Show. Yeah, speaking of Cleveland, I mean, look, I'm realistic with who Baker Mayfield is. Like, I was told leading into the NFL draft 2 years ago that if you surround him with really good pieces, he's very bright, he's a good leader. But there are some limitations in terms of his size, his talent, and his athleticism. Is that what we're seeing? Because in fairness, he hasn't performed great in these first two games.
Well, I, it's funny to me that there's not more talk about Baker Mayfield being a turnover machine, because he has. He's been a turnover machine. And if you go back, I think it's I want to say the line of demarcation is when Freddie Kitchens took over that offense. Baker Mayfield leads the NFL in turnovers, and yet no one's really brought that up. And I think part of that is because he does have a lot of people, you know, embrace that gambling nature and, you know, the gunslinger, all that. So he definitely embraces that, but it's still the NFL and you got to take care of the football. And it has definitely hurt them when you watch the first two games, some of the shots, you know, that he's taking, you know, and I also think when you go back to the success of Cleveland last year, when they really had things rolling, they were really running. They were a running team. They ran the football really, really well. And I think this year there's been this sort of design dynamic of we have OBJ, we have Jarvis Landry, we have, you know, the tight end, we have all these guys. Now we got to throw the ball and become more of a slinging team, when I still think they're probably at their best when it's balanced and Nick Chubb's running the ball well. So I think the turnovers from Baker and just sort of getting back to being a, you know, also a run balanced team probably would help them a heck of a lot. It's just, I think they added in all these pieces and there's just this inclination right now to show, hey, we added all these pieces, let's make this work. Let's show everyone, you know, that we can be this sort of fast break offense throwing the ball.
Yeah. Any sense of what the Steelers are doing? Like, this feels a little like a lost season starting 0-2. And now they, you know, you're dealing with Mason Rudolph, a backup quarterback who they may have high hopes for, but yeah. But they didn't expect to play him. And now they make a trade for Minkah Fitzpatrick, which, again, maybe they can find some value there. He was disappointing during his year and a half in Miami, but only had to give up a first-round pick and don't have to pay all that money up front like the Dolphins did. Well, what's your sense of what are they trying to win now, or are they trying to plan for the future?
Well, I think there's a couple of things with Fitzpatrick. I think, you know, when you talk to people in Pittsburgh, the first thing they'll tell you is when you looked at the surrounding talent that Minkah was playing with in Miami, not a great setup. And then clearly he was unhappy when Brian Flores came in and said, hey, you're a guy who has this versatility to play all this, you know, these multitude of positions. We're going to do that. And Fitzpatrick clearly wasn't on board with that. And, you know, so that's part of the problem. I think Pittsburgh's going to say, okay, you want to be a corner, you know, we're going to make you a corner. We're going to find exactly what we believe you do the best, this one position. We're not going to use you as this sort of multiple position player. But, you know, Pittsburgh, I think when they did their grades, you know, in that draft, Quentin Nelson, Saquon Barkley, Minkah Fitzpatrick, those are like the three highest graded players in terms of just the totality of what the grade was that they put on him. And they still feel like he's that player. Plus, they feel like, hey, we got Devin Bush. If this guy is what we think he is, it gives us another defensive cornerstone to build out a number of years. It's not just about the season. It's about, you know, retooling that defense. Yeah. So I think that's part of it. But I think they feel pretty good about Mason Rudolph. We'll see if that's the right read on Mason Rudolph.
What are you hearing about Cam Newton? Not just the injury, but now we start to get to the only $2 million in dead cap money if they want to get out of the Cam Newton business next year. What are you hearing about Cam Newton in Carolina?
I think they dug their own grave with this one when they said he was okay. You know, they never should have. You know, look, when I went through there in training camp and I talked to Marty Herney, and Marty, I said to Marty, your two deep is really good. This team should be pretty good. And if it's not, Ron's going to be in some trouble. North Turner, your offense coordinator, is going to be in trouble. And Marty, you might be in some trouble here, because too many people in the personnel world look at your two deep and think this should be a competitive playoff level team this year. And he was so reticent to really say, yeah, we should be a playoff. And I think it was because he knew of the fragility of Cam Newton. Like, hey, he's coming back from the shoulder. Let's see how things go. Almost immediately, I think it was within a week or two of us having that conversation, Cam got the midfoot sprain, which was bad. He probably should not have been pushed back into the lineup. Like, I think this, what we're seeing now is that maybe Cam needed to sit out for a couple of weeks to make sure that foot was right. And they definitely shouldn't have come out of the last game saying, oh no, he's healthy, he's fine. Clearly that's not the case. I think if this season goes down the tank, I think this is another thing that I talked about on the podcast. When I went through and I talked to all these personnel guys, and they always ask me in the off season about other teams, other opportunities where GM jobs might be open, Carolina's the number one team. so many guys want to know what's going on with David Tepper, the new owner, yep. and Marty Herney, the GM. I think that's because guys know this could go south fast, and there's the ability to come in and, as you said, pivot away from Cam Newton, start fresh with someone who's, you know, a quote-unquote progressive GM, all these things. So it's in the mind of people out there, and I'm telling you, if there's a general manager change, I absolutely could see not only Cam being on the outs, but the coaching staff as well, and this being a new break next season.
Great stuff. More of that great stuff you can hear on the Yahoo Sports NFL podcast, or check him out on Twitter at Charles Robinson. Just read his work at Yahoo Sports. Charles, thanks so much for joining us. Really appreciate your time.
Absolutely. I always enjoyed that.
Charles Robinson, senior NFL reporter for Yahoo Sports. Coming up next, the Dallas Cowboys are the team to beat. Is that real news or fake news? Find out next.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at noon Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
Every day at this time, Doug Gottlieb Show. We catch up with my man, Dan Beyer. We say, hey, Dan, why don't you have some fun? Hey, Dan, why don't you get the topics of the day and entertain us? Hey, Dan, why don't you play a game?
Game time!
This is game time.
It's game time.
On the Doug Gottlieb Show.
Game time is brought to you by Little Caesars, where you can get a large quattro pizza. Quattro meaning four, like four sections of classic Italian flavors for just $7. Only at participating Little Caesars locations, plus tax where applicable.
Fire.
Dan Beyer, what do you got?
Doug, the game today is...
Real news, fake news.
And again, this week we'll be debuting a new game here on Game Time, so it'll either come tomorrow or Friday. You'll have to stay tuned. I feel a draft. That'll be the new game coming up.
Close the door.
Real news? That's real news, by the way. Real news or fake news? The Dallas Cowboys are now the favorites to win the NFC East.
Oh, that's real news.
They're real, and they're spectacular.
Wasn't the case a week ago, but Bet Online now has the Cowboys as a 4-5 favorite. Eagles were a 2-3 favorite a week ago, but fell to 11-10, 11-10 favorite, as the Cowboys now are 2-0. Eagles 1-1 after their loss to the Falcons. I think this could go back and forth throughout the year.
I do too, except for the fact that the Cowboys start off the very, very soft start, right? I mean, you know, now they got the Dolphins, and that's 3-0.
Saints without
Drew Brees. And, oh, yeah, by the way, you know, you have the Giants who are now starting a rookie at quarterback. You get them one more time. They're in really good shape. And, you know, their offensive line looks great, as opposed to the Eagles, who have some issues with their offensive line. All that said, the Eagles very easily could have beaten the Falcons, which is a higher level of competition with the Cowboys are playing against. That's what you're saying. So I understand it. I think the Cowboys are really good. And I agree with the best guess because their schedule looks a little bit easier.
Real news or fake news? The Jaguars are holding out Jalen Ramsey from tomorrow's game against the Titans because of a possible trade.
I'm going to go real news.
You are fake news.
Jags head coach Doug Marrone said today that he spoke with Ramsey yesterday. They put their sideline incident behind them, and that Ramsey is focused on playing tomorrow night. Now, he still could be traded, but the plan is for Jalen Ramsey to go against the Titans.
Yeah, it's a weird thing. Now, did we find out if he could play in both games?
I didn't look into
that. I mean, I would guess
that
he couldn't, but it would be cool if he could.
I think he could. You know, when I mentioned the Snacks Harrison thing, it was a bye situation where I think he played 17 games because
he didn't have a bye.
Yeah, correct. Right. Correct. Real news or fake news?
It'd be cool, though, if you had a bye and then you went to another team that had another bye, so you only played. Right? You're like, man, this is rough.
Real news or fake news? Saints head coach Sean Payton says Teddy Bridgewater will be the starter against the Seahawks on Sunday.
No, that's fake news.
You are fake news.
Yes, good catch. Sean Payton today, when asked if Taysom Hill's workload would be lessened, like on special teams, because he's now the backup, Payton answered, who says he's number two? Now, Bridgewater may still end up starting, but right now, the Seahawks don't know who they'll see on the field first Sunday.
Well, I think they'll see them both.
I think so, too.
I think they'll see them both. And look, you'd see two quarterbacks if you saw Drew Brees out there. There's some talk of starting Taysom Hill. Like Taysom Hill could be he's a legit quarterback as well and a freak athlete. Teddy Bridgewater has to play better, but they didn't pay Teddy Bridgewater $7.5 million to not play when Drew Brees is hurt.
Real news or fake news that Alabama head coach Nick Saban said if he had to do it all over again, he wouldn't have left LSU for the NFL and the Miami Dolphins.
That sounds like real news.
They're real, and they're spectacular.
Saban made the comments as he was speaking with the USA Today on the heels of the announcement that he will be inducted into the Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame class of 2020.
I guess the only question is, why wasn't he already in? Right? And that's game time.
That's game, huh?
Game time.
This is game time on the Doug Gottlieb Show.
I want to put a cap on something. It's this, is Eli Manning a Hall of Famer? Why aren't you talking about it, Gottlieb? Everybody's talking about it. Because he's going to be in the Hall of Fame. Now, if you want to argue whether or not he should be or not, we can have thoughtful, and we'll have some thoughtful discussions. I don't want to ask people about it. I'll give you my opinion. But he won two Super Bowls. They upset the best team we've seen in modern day football. He did it in New York City, and his last name's Manning. You think he's not getting the Hall of Fame? Kurt Warner had, and I love Kurt Warner, he had some of the worst seasons in football because of injury. And yet he's in. Of course Eli's getting in. Are the Panthers stuck with Cam? We discuss next in the Doug Gottlieb Show.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Boom! What up, America? Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Brought to you by Farmers. At Farmers, we've seen almost everything, so we know how to cover almost anything when it's game time. Have an experienced player help you stay in the game. Put their experience into play at Farmers.com.
We are Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Wow, do we have a lot to get to, huh? We got a ton to get to. A ton. And, I would love to do the,
is Eli Manning a Hall of Famer?
But as I stated at the end of last hour, and I'll state to you now, he's going to be in the Hall of Fame. Should he be? We can have that discussion. If you think that's interesting, cool. Will he be? Yeah. Yeah. Look, let me just kind of lay this out for you. Has anybody looked at Kurt Warner's career? Anybody ever looked at that? And for Full disclosure, I'm a homer for Kurt Warner because I think he's an awesome dude and he's always been great to me. Every once in a while, he'll listen to my show and text me something he agrees with or disagrees with. We start talking about football. He's a friend, and I also think, and this would probably seal the deal, if it could go either way, his story is so unique and so amazing, right? From EuroLeague and stacking groceries and undrafted to the best quarterback in the NFL with the best stats we've ever seen. If it could go either way, that puts you over the top, which is the same as Eli Manning. Like, we can argue back and forth, but if he won two Super Bowls, and he's the quarterback of the New York Giants, he's getting in. But like, let's remember, Kurt Warner gets the start, his first full year in the NFL, leads the league in touchdown passes, yards per attempt, quarterback rating. Next year, he got hurt mid-year, and they were just okay. The following year, they get the Super Bowl again. He's 14-2. But then he gets hurt. He goes 0-6 as a starter. They struggle. I don't know. The year after leading his team to his second Super Bowl and being the MVP of the league, he had three touchdown passes and 11 interceptions in his whole year. And he was basically a non-competitive quarterback for the next 6 years till he gets to Arizona. And because Matt Leinart gets hurt, and then at 37 years old, he leads them to a Super Bowl. Remember, they were only 9-7 that year. 30 touchdowns, 14 interceptions. He had three really remarkable seasons. Four or five damn good seasons, with three of them being remarkable. And six terrible seasons. And he's in the Hall of Fame. Eli Manning had, four or five tremendous seasons, won two Super Bowls, has a bunch of really good. He's getting, and he's, his name's Manning. He's in New York. He's getting in the, he's getting in the Hall of Fame. So I just spent 4 minutes, which I don't want to feel like I wasted your time, but for whatever radio show you listen from this point forward, if they're debating whether or not he will get in, then they're wasting your time. He's, start with what could happen. Okay? What could happen in the real world? Not this hypothetical, are they going to argue back and forth? We polled voters. In 5 years, Eli Manning will be in the Hall of Fame. 5 years from at the end of the season, he'll be in. Maybe they wait and make him wait an additional year. But let's stop the nonsensical, will he be? Should he be? You want to have that discussion? Fine. Will he be? Kurt Warner's a great story. But, you know, again, the argument about Eli Manning is, if he's really a great quarterback, like, why haven't they won a single playoff game outside of the two Super Bowl years? And why has it been so long since they've been consistently in the playoffs? It's like once in the last 7 years they've been in the playoffs? If you're an all-time great, shouldn't you? It's a fair conversation. I've always had the same thought with Kurt Warner. If Kurt Warner is one of the greatest quarterbacks we've ever seen, how can we be so bad for 6 years? Wasn't all injury? Wasn't all system? But when you win a Super Bowl, when you're an MVP, when you put up big numbers, you can't, and for Kurt Warner, you have one of the greatest personal stories. And for Eli Manning, honestly, Eli Manning's story is a pretty good one. It's got to be. It's great to be a Manning, but it ain't great when you're always compared with your brother, who's one of the five greatest quarterbacks in the history of the sport. Let's get to arguments we can have. So there's a little bit of ambiguity as to whether or not Cam Newton will start this week for the Carolina Panthers. Newton hasn't looked like himself in a long time. And it's not simply because he's wearing scarves. He hasn't looked like the dynamic run-pass threat, the MVP of the league, in several years. He's always been inaccurate, but now it's bordering on really alarming. He hasn't improved in spite of the fact that the talent around him has improved. And when you get down to the goal line and you're going to have a direct snap to somebody who could run it or throw it, and it's not he's not named Cam Newton, you start to go, dude, something's up with Cam and his body. And so you start to ask yourself, how important is this season for Cam Newton and the Carolina Panthers? Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports joined us last hour. He said this.
When I went through and I talked to all these personnel guys, and they always asked me in the offseason about other teams, other opportunities where GM jobs might be open, Carolina's the number one team. So many guys want to know what's going on with David Tepper, the new owner, yep, and Marty Herney, the GM. I think that's because guys know this could go south fast, and there's the ability to come in and, as you said, pivot away from Cam Newton, start fresh. It's in the mind of people out there, and I'm telling you, if there's a general manager change, I absolutely could see not only Cam being on the outs, but the coaching staff as well, and this being a new break next season.
And now, look, it's important to mention that this week is a winnable game, as they'll travel on the road and take on the Arizona Cardinals. Then they go to Houston, Jacksonville at home. They go to Tampa, who just beat them, before their bye week. Still have to go to San Francisco. Still have to go to Green Bay. Yikes. Have to go to New Orleans. And by the time they go to New Orleans, we'd expect Drew Brees to be back. Of course, they have to go to Atlanta. They got Seattle coming in. So I feel like they're in that they're done discussion. Maybe not, because that division is so very much up in the air, with Atlanta being 1-1, with the Saints being 1-1, with Tampa being 1-1. Maybe. But when you only have $2 million to get out of the Cam Newton business and you have a new owner, never underestimate what a new owner brings. This is what happened in Houston in basketball. Houston thought they were close. But their owner is like, no. Tillman Fertitta is going to join us tomorrow on the show. He's the Houston Rockets owner. He's the one who basically said, we're going to make some changes. And they have. They dealt away Chris Paul for Russell Westbrook. They cleaned house with the coaching staff. And you know what? If they don't win this year, Daryl Morey, as brilliant as he's been, he'll be out of a job. Because new owners come in and they want their guy. They want their hire. They don't want somebody else. Like, they're no different than your wife or your girlfriend when you buy a new place. You walk in like, man, this place is beautiful. Like, yeah, I want to paint it. Yeah, but it's perfect. Okay, but it's not what I picked out. I want what I picked out. Right? That's just the nature of human beings. Nobody wants what somebody else built. They want to say, hey, see that? You like this room? It's a beautiful room. I painted it. Right. You like that woodworking? I whittled it. You like this coach? You like this general manager? I picked him. By the way, it's not hard to trace. If the Pittsburgh Steelers fell apart and if they fired Mike Tomlin, the new owner of the Carolina Panthers used to be a partial owner of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Who do you think he's going to hire? You know? Come on. This is not hard. So I used to think that the Carolina Panthers were forever tied to Cam Newton. He won the MVP, took him to the Super Bowl. It's really hard. But when you only got $2 million to get out of the Cam Newton business, and the injuries keep piling up, and there's uncertainty heading into the week, and you can't run Cam Newton around the goal line. The biggest, strongest, best running quarterback we've ever seen. Look, Mike Vick was faster. Steve Young was craftier. But we've never seen a 6'5", 6'6", 260-pound grown man run by, over, around, through anything in his path until Cam Newton. You can't run him. You got him standing back there throwing it 51 times. Not optimal. Coming up next, Daniel Jeremiah joins us. Does he think Cam Newton's on his way out of Carolina? And, like, where else would Cam Newton go? Plus, does he think the league will catch up to Lamar Jackson? And what can we expect from Daniel Jones, who's starting in just the third week in the National Football League? That's all coming up next. But first, hey, let's talk about the holidays, should we? I know it's crazy to talk about the holidays already, but if you're like me, you don't want to go through another holiday season taking closed-mouth fool rules, right? Everyone else is grinning ear to ear. That's why I'm getting my photo-ready smile right now with clear aligners from Candid. Candid's aligners can help straighten your teeth faster than traditional braces. Treatment takes 6 months on average. I had braces as a kid, then I had wisdom teeth, and, you know, not exactly ideal. Before I get the wisdom teeth pulled, you get an experienced orthodontist who's licensed in your state, creates a custom treatment plan. Then they show you a 3D photo of what your teeth will look like after you're done. Candid's aligners are comfortable, removable, and completely invisible. And Candid ships the aligners directly to you. There's no hassle of going to an office. And Candid's cost 65% less than braces. And with each aligner purchase, Candid donates $25 to Smile Train, which is 100% free cleft lip and palate treatment for kids around the globe. So they give back to society. You got that photo-ready smile for holidays? You should too. Go to CandidCO.com/Doug. Use the code Doug, D-O-U-G. You get $75 off. That's CandidCO.com/Doug. Code is Doug for $75 off. CandidCO.com/Doug. Code is Doug.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at noon Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Daniel Jeremiah is a man of many hats. He hosts the Move the Sticks podcast, see him on the NFL Network. Plus, he's the color analyst on radio for the L.A. Chargers. And the Chargers had a game they could have won four times over, didn't. And a big reason why was a late interception thrown by Phillip Rivers. And he had Virgil Green open, wide open over the middle, could have thrown it, kicked a field goal, gone to overtime. He did not. So much of the discussion this week has been about Drew Brees' injury out, Ben Roethlisberger out for the year, same injury, all kind of same draft class, same age. How has Phillip Rivers looked this year?
Well, he's been fine, Doug. You know, that was a decision I think he would like to have back. You know, I don't want to give him an excuse, but when you've got your know, your backup kicker out there who's already missed two very makeable kicks in the game, I thought maybe he was a little bit over-aggressive. And it was a play that – it was a throw that, quite honestly, he made the exact same throw against the Colts that ended up being a touchdown. It was the same probably poor decision in the Indianapolis game. McKean ended up you kind of out-muscling those two guys for the ball. This time he didn't get away with it. So, you know, that was – you know, like it was a bad decision on his part, but they fumbled on the one trying to jump over the pile. They missed a couple field goals. They had two touchdowns called back. I mean, it was just a lot of things for a very injured team that kind of none of those things really went their way. So they're a better team, in my opinion, than the Lions. I think significantly better, but they didn't finish the game.
Yeah, they did. It's kind of what the Chargers used to always do, always be injured and find a way to lose, which is something they had turned the corner with. How hard will it be against the Texans at home this Sunday?
Well, I think it's going to be a very good opponent, you know, after watching their tape and studying the Texans. But, you know, the fun thing that I've enjoyed, Doug, this is kind of as a lifelong scout, but to do this Chargers gig and travel with the team, I think you get a totally inside look at it. And this is a team that's there's a lot of veterans and very mature, and even just kind of being on the plane and talking with guys, like they quickly turn the page. Hey, put it behind you. You've got a big one in an AFC game this week in Houston, a team that didn't look great offensively last week against Jacksonville, but I thought defensively it's a really, really good group. And then you've got a dynamic player in Hopkins that you've got to worry about. So it's going to be a tough one.
Yeah, but if they can win it, they get Miami, which seems like a win. And then, you know, Denver, who's struggling at home, before you get Pittsburgh, who is going to have a backup quarterback. So a schedule that looked formidable, now all of a sudden has a chance to get them going in the right direction. Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. What do you make of the timing of Eli Manning being benched?
Well, I mean, look, a couple things. I think that, you know, I saw Kurt Warner had said this, and I agree with Kurt on this point, that, you know, the reason they're not winning is not because of Eli Manning. I mean, this roster's not very good defensively. They don't have any players on the outside. It's a team that's truthfully kind of built through the running back that was trying to operate in a system through the quarterback, which didn't make any sense to me. But they played Buffalo last week, and they got a chance to see Josh Allen on a team that maybe doesn't have a ton of playmakers. Josh Allen run around, make some plays. He's a threat as a runner. That helps the run game out and gives you some more answers when you have an athletic quarterback. And I think on a team that's a little bit limited, they look at Daniel Jones, his ability to move around and create, and will give him a chance to expand their offense a little bit and with his athletic ability and give them a better chance. So I guess I understand why they did it. I think you can understand why they did it and say, you know, look, this is not I wouldn't pin this all on Eli Manning.
He's going to get into the Hall of Fame. I think that's a silly discussion. I do think it's a smart discussion to say, in reality, should he get in the Hall of Fame?
In my opinion, yes, just because, you know, people always say, you know, a lot of times you hear people say, well, you got to be one of the three or four best. I don't think he would get under the end of that criteria. But I think when you look at the giant of our, with no pun intended, the team that's run the NFL for 20 years now, however long it's been, and he slayed them twice, I think that does count for something. I think that is what's going to get him ultimately into the Hall of Fame, and I have no problem with it. I think that's those are major accomplishments, what he was able to get done in those two big games.
Daniel Jeremiah, Move the Sticks is the podcast. NFL Network is his home. Plus, you can hear him on the Chargers Radio Network. He joins us in the Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. We started talking about Cam Newton, only $2 million in dead cap money. They don't run him around the goal line last Thursday, right, when they're trying to win the game. He's more banged up than people had realized. And, you know, when you make him into a thrower, he's still kind of Cam Newton. What do you think ultimately is the future for Cam Newton in Carolina?
Well, you know, I don't want to be too out in front on this and premature, but it just feels like this could be one of those situations where it's a clean sweep after the year with Carolina. You know, you've got a relatively new owner. I could see it being, okay, this is our time. Let's turn this thing over. Now, we made a run to the Super Bowl with Cam, but that's behind us now. It's going to be a new general manager, new head coach, new quarterback, and start fresh. That's what it kind of feels like. I'd be surprised if we see a similar version of Cam to what we've seen this year if he was their quarterback going into the next season. It just feels like it's time to try and start fresh and start something new there in Carolina.
Dan and Jeremiah joining us. The Miami Dolphins are historically bad already. Minus 92 point differential. You're going to see them in a couple weeks in Miami. How hard is this going to be recovered from? We're reading some stuff. Warren Sharps, who does that football analysis, you know, Sharp Football, and he's like, look, this is so bad, it may take years to recover. I look at this as like the Houston Astros. Yeah, you're bad, but you're going to draft a ton of guys and just completely turn over the roster. How hard do you think this is going to be recovered from year to year?
Well, it's a long way to travel, but they're going to have a lot of assets. So, you know, and everybody looks at the number of picks they have now. That number is going to grow, Doug. They're going to end up trading back on a couple of those, and it'll be a whole host of picks. But when you look at some of these situations around the league, when you don't have the core positions taken care of, I really, you know, I can understand why they're going in the direction that they're going, especially, you know, the Minka move. If he's not playing corner for you, you know, you go out and try and find a couple corners, tackles, pass rushers. Like, that's what they're going to be tasked with, as well as, obviously, first and foremost, finding their future quarterback. So, I would personally, if you look at it from a fan perspective, take the personnel side out of it. I don't want to watch a 7-8-9 win team every year. I'd rather, you know, roll the dice, try and start over and see if you can hit the lottery here.
I tend to agree with you. Everybody says that they want competitive, but what they really want is a great team, and sometimes it takes a while to build. What happens with Jalen Ramsey?
Well, to me, the Philadelphia Eagles make a lot of sense to me. That's a classic Howie Roseman type move. It's a need for them. I think he would fit into their culture. That one to me makes a lot of sense. And I would say the other two teams that make sense, Kansas City for obvious reasons, kind of go all in this year with a team that's ready to win a Super Bowl. And I would put the Chargers in there, quite honestly. And that's not based off of talking to anybody there. But when I think about his relationship with Derwin James, they're best friends, and he's played for Gus Bradley. They have a great relationship. And obviously it's a position of need for the Chargers. So I think those three teams would make tremendous sense, but I know it's going to cost a lot, not just in draft picks, but in the amount of money he's going to want.
Yep. That's true. And they have Joey Bosa to pay next year. They got to decide what to do with Melvin Gordon. If and when Melvin Gordon shows back up, they got some other big decisions to make. Daniel Jeremiah is our guest here on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. How long till the league catches up to Lamar Jackson?
Well, they've built it smartly. I thought last year they did not have the right complements at receiver to complement his style of play, meaning they need some over-the-top guys that could really stretch the field. You run, and be able to hit some home runs. And I think Hollywood Brown is the perfect fit for them. So they have a formula, Doug, I think can work. Now, I don't think you're going to see him dropping back 35, 40 times a game and having consistent success like he's had against the two bad teams they've played. But if they can continue to play good defense and run the ball, they've got guys now with the tight ends that can get over the top when you pull the linebackers up, and now they've got a receiver who can get over the top. I like the way they've kind of framed this team and built it around Lamar's skills.
Yeah, it is, because, you know, he struggles with the short and underneath stuff, and they're not really throwing short and underneath, and it's kind of, you know, do what he does best. You are close. You used to work in Baltimore. What did they say about Kyler Murray and whether or not that experiment will work?
Well, it looked exactly like, I know we've had this conversation. I distinctly remember having this conversation. I felt this offense would really move the ball well between the 20s. I thought once they got down inside the red zone, when the space disappears, I was concerned about how they were going to score, you know, and they don't have those, you know, you're not going to be able to run the ball that well out of that offense when you get down there in a condensed area. And then they don't have any just complete world beaters on the outside at this point in time. So that was my concern going into the season, and I thought that's exactly what unfolded there in Baltimore. A ton of passing yards between the 20s, and they couldn't cash in.
I told people when Jared Goff's deal was signed, I said, hey, I talked to the Chargers, and they were like, man, Jared Goff's pretty good. From those scrimmages, right? Then I talked to the Raiders folks, and they were like, hey, Jared Goff's pretty good. Of the things we learned last week when the Rams beat the Saints, one, I've never been a big Teddy Bridgewater guy, and there's some reason.
Yeah.
But also, like, people still kind of seem to were down on Jared Goff after signing that big deal, seemed to have gone really quiet.
No, he's a good player, man. Look, he's the first pick in the draft for a reason. He's very talented. I think he's comfortable and confident. That's just continued to grow. I think having a Super Bowl appearance last year and all the success they had. He just looks like a very confident, comfortable player back there. He's in a scheme that fits him beautifully. So I think he's set up for success. And, you know, I'm with you. I like Teddy coming into the draft process. He was my top quarterback that year. I mean, I didn't have, I think he was maybe, you know, 14th or 15th on my list that year, but he was my top quarterback and, you know, very accurate. Man, what I saw in the preseason this year, seeing him in person, was not impressed. And then I saw Taysom Hill come in, and I know it's the preseason, but man, you've got a lot to deal with there as a defensive coordinator. I would imagine, you know, with them being in win now mode, they will not give a long leash there to Teddy. If it does not click right away, you throw Taysom Hill out there, you almost kind of scrap your traditional offense, try and run the ball and play defense until Drew Brees comes back.
By the way, Tom Brady was limited in today's practice with a calf injury, just so we're aware. Calf injury.
Interesting.
Yeah, calf injury.
Bad week for older quarterbacks, huh?
I mean, but that's what the older quarterbacks do, right? They get hurt.
Ticking time bomb. Yeah.
Ticking time bomb is absolutely positively correct. All right, let's move around the league just a little bit more. Doug Gottlieb Show. You're listening to Daniel Jeremiah as our guest. Download the Move the Sticks podcast. It's a really good one. When did Russell Wilson switch over into being one of the top five guys in the league? Like every game seems to come down to him running around back there and making a play, but the virtuoso performance he put on in Pittsburgh, is that just a case of Pittsburgh not playing that well, or has Russell kind of turned into one of these elite couple of guys?
He is up there at the top. I mean, he is fantastic. And, you know, one thing I will give Russell a lot of credit, because I've heard, you know, the stories of him in the offseason and how regimented he is. I mean, every minute is accounted for. He has really put in the work. And you've seen, I mean, Doug, it's a trend line, man. You've seen just every year steady improvement with him. And, I always say early on with young quarterbacks, it's a key that they have some mobility so they can use their legs to get themselves out of some trouble that defenses present until they can get enough time and experience where then they can use their mind to be able to get out of those situations. And I think Russell is in that sweet spot right now where he still has all that mobility, Doug, but now he's got the head knowledge of what defenses are trying to do. So he's got the answers with both his legs and his brain. And that is scary. I mean, I don't know how long he'll stay in this sweet spot before, you know, the legs start to go a little bit and he's got to rely solely on what he's doing upstairs. But right now he has everything.
Is the Garoppolo thing real? Like, I know they haven't played top level of competition, but aside from the turnovers, he's starting to put up some numbers, and they are 2-0, and there are high expectations on this Niner team. I'm wondering what your assessment of Jimmy Jesus is.
Well, I think he looks good, and I think he's gotten better in the second week. I'm a Garoppolo guy, but I think the main story there, if you look at that 49er team, first of all, their defense is up front. It's really good. But the second thing is, Doug, look at the way they ran the ball. Look at the Shanahan tree. Look at the way he runs the ball. Look at the way LaFleur is getting the Packers to run the ball a little bit better. You look at Kubiak, who comes from that whole Shanahan system. Look what he's done for Minnesota's ground game and Dalvin Cook. Like, why everybody in the NFL does not run just outside zone 24/7 is a mystery to me. Those guys all run it every year.
Yeah, and you see, even the Rams ran it a ton, right? I mean, just a ton.
Exactly. Same
against the Saints. And it's like student body left, student body right. You know, push it to the edge, and then, you know, maybe one cut, and off we go. And it seems to be something that works. You mentioned Green Bay. There was a little back and forth between LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers. 2 weeks in, what do you think of the new offense?
I think it's still a work in progress. I think the best thing going for them is, as well as their defense is playing right now, and as nice a job as they've done building that defense, they're going to be afforded some time here before they figure out what they want to do, who they want to be offensively. So it would be enhanced if you're losing games and still trying to find your footing. But man, it does take a lot of pressure off when you're finding ways to win games while you're still figuring things out.
Mm-hmm. Do you think Kaepernick gets a call?
Man, it's somebody. You know, I saw somewhere the other day. Has it been like 4 years? Is that how long it's been? It has been a long time.
I did not
realize that much time had elapsed. It only takes one team, right?
But isn't it usually like there's an article in USA Today where it's like, well, people only call who they know. Like, the guy he knows is Greg Roman in Baltimore, And one, they don't need a backup. They have one. And secondly, like, he sullied that relationship with his girlfriend's IG. Like, that's the way you have to bring in somebody who might know your system. And the only system that he seemingly would be comfortable with, that's a place he can't go.
Yeah, no, it's a fair point. To me, it's getting to the point now where it's just like the length of the layoff.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know all the particulars of who's, you know, called him over the years. And, you know, you hear stories, oh, he didn't want to be a backup, he wanted to be a starter. I don't have all that information. I just know that at this point in time, there's a long layoff to bring somebody in.
No question about it. Daniel Jeremiah, we'll get what you think about the Houston Texans next week as you see him in person against the Chargers. In the meantime, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, bud. See you, man.
DJ joining us in the Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. We will play for you that Eli Manning sound. Plus, is Dak Prescott one of the elite quarterbacks in the NFL right now? We'll discuss next.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at noon Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Every day this time, we play for you a portion of a preview show on Fox Sports Radio and Fox Sports One. We call it...
What does the Fox say?
What does the Fox say? It's brought to you by Little Caesars Pizza. Where you can get a large quattro pizza with four sections of classic Italian flavors for just $7, only at participating Little Caesars location, plus tax where applicable. This was Nick Wright discussing Dak Prescott's hot start on the season.
Through 2 weeks, he has been anything but a game manager. He's averaging 330 yards per game. He's completing 82% of his passes, and they're not dinks and dunks. It's 11 yards per attempt, and he has a 143 rating when a perfect quarterback rating is 158. When you add that it's not just those two games, it's the final half of last season, he's now strung together, last half of last season, the playoff game, two games here, a 12-game stretch where the team's 10-2, where he's averaging over 250 yards per game, where his touchdown interception ratio is back around where it was that great rookie season. The quarterback rating is back around where it was that rookie season, and he's doing it with deeper passes than he did his rookie season. So I don't want to overreact to the beginning of the season, and I don't want to totally change my evaluation of where Dak was, but what he's done through 2 weeks is played like a league MVP. What he's done through 2 weeks is played like a superstar quarterback, and you have to give him credit for it. He has not been a game manager through 2 weeks of the year. He has been a force multiplier.
They're using the force multiplier and talk about how, look, he's been great. Lamar Jackson's been great. And I think he's better than Lamar Jackson, and I think he's a good quarterback. But, I mean, like, they play the Giants who stink, and they played the Redskins who stink, and they're going to play the Dolphins who stink. So let's figure out when we see him against the Eagles, when we see him against the Saints on the road, when we see him against better competition. I also think that they have a new play caller, and Kellen Moore's doing a great job. They're more creative than they used to be. You lose Michael Gallup for a couple weeks, let's see how good Dak is. You play against better competition, let's see how good Dak is. No one said he's not any good. No one's disputing how well he's played. It's just hard to tell with level of competition. Yes, Ryan Music.
What about this idea that the way he's played at the start of the season, like Jerry Jones is like kicking himself, oh man, we should have paid him in the offseason. Now he's just costing us so many more millions and millions of dollars because he's had such a hot start to the season. Do you really think Jerry Jones is looking at this situation and going, wow, we could have got him for $31 million in August, but now because he's had two great regular season games, now we have to pay him $35 million a year. Is that really how negotiations work in the NFL?
I don't believe so. Additionally, remember, in their back pocket is the franchise tag. They can always lay on him for 2 years. So if they don't like where it's going to go, and they can just put the franchise tag on him and just go like, all right, dude, like you don't really have a choice here. So, and I don't think they want to do that. But to this point, he's making a strong case for his argument of being a $35 million guy, or at least of getting a dollar more than Carson Wentz. We'll see him on the field at the same time, and I think he's going to get handsomely compensated, but I don't think that he is as dynamic as he's looked in the first 2 weeks. But if you take the first 2 weeks, you would say that Dak Prescott's the best quarterback in the league, and you'd also say that Lamar Jackson's in that conversation. They're not. Different levels. But it's also the different level of competition they play. It's one of the things that the NFL is going to have to make an adjustment to, because this is maybe the first time that we've had this much disparity in the haves and the have-nots this early in the season. I want to play for you some. This Eli Manning was in front of his locker day. First time meeting the media after being demoted yesterday. Take a listen to the Q&A.
Is this the end of Eli Manning or another phase?
Yeah. Who knows? So, it's again, not dying. The season's not over. So there's lots to be positive about, lots to be grateful for. And so I just got to kind of accept my new role and make the best of it.
Accept my new role, make the best of it. I'm sure he's bummed, he's pissed. You know, he feels like he's being scapegoated. But I also think that it's realistic to believe we'll see Eli Manning again this year, whether Daniel Jones gets banged up or whether he has some struggles. And this is the real challenge, Eli Manning, right? Like, there's Kurt Warner went through this. Can you be a mentor? Can you be a mentor? You know, can you work every moment for somebody else to be a great quarterback? That's a really hard adjustment to make. Look, LeBron James, he's not going to come off the bench, but I don't know if you've seen this. LeBron James has said he wants the offense to run through Anthony Davis. Now, lots of people say that, and LeBron will still be on the floor, but if you can do it, it's magnificent. Jordan wasn't able to do that. Kobe definitely, hell no, he wasn't able to do that. It's a different and a new challenge and something that's very, very hard to do. Hard to do. But if Eli Manning can do it and do it well, and I think that's part of the reason they chose Daniel Jones, because he played for the same college coach, because he's been completely respectful, because there's a little bit of a relationship there, this just might work. All right, we know the Dolphins are bad. Really bad. No. Really, 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 really bad. Are they, in fact, too bad to recover? We'll discuss next in the Doug Gottlieb Show.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
What up, Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. We had Charles Robinson on earlier from Yahoo Sports, Daniel Jeremiah from the NFL Network. Allen Robinson from your Chicago Bears will join us in 15 minutes. What a great show we got for you. We'll feign some interest in baseball this hour, a little bit. Smidge. I'm going to tease to you that my newest all ball podcast is in the can. No, not that can. Sorry, I just got out of the can. No. It's a radio TV expression. It's actually on tape, but we don't actually use tape anymore. So it's digitally recorded. Dan Patrick is my guest. Former Hooper. We'll talk to Dan Patrick. DP. So we got a lot to get to. We're keeping an eye on Major League Baseball. You heard, if you're listening to our update with Dan Beyer, we'll hear from Dan Beyer a little later on this hour, that the Rockies, it's not yet Rocktober, Rockies up 3-2. On the Metropolitans, Mets, every win counts. Every win is important in the National League wild card race. More on that upcoming. Big college football is we're at Wednesday, aren't we? We've got a big college football weekend. Huge. Texas, Oklahoma State. But as we continue to look at the Miami Dolphins, I read this article and I know you're like, well, aren't you going to do the what everybody else has done with Eli Manning? No, I'm not. I'm not going to argue whether or not he will be in the Hall of Fame, because he's going to be in the Hall of Fame. Right? Like, I can do that if it would please you, but I just don't, because I'm a realist. I've been doing this for a long time. And if there's a question, I come down to, is there a story that puts him over the top? Two Super Bowl wins, yes. New York, yes. Last name Manning, yes. Gets in. And one of his wins are over arguably the greatest team we've seen in modern football history. Yeah, he's getting in. Does it mean that he's one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time? No. No, should he be in? Different discussion. But he's going to get in. He's going to. So there'll be a little bit of sympathy vote because he's Peyton's brother. There'll be a little bit of New York vote. There'll be a Super Bowl vote. There'll be part of the vote that because he beat the Patriots when they were undefeated. All of those things will help him. He's going to get it. while we'll concede that Eli Manning's not the best quarterback of all time, we also have to discuss whether or not the Miami Dolphins could be the worst team of all time. Now, it's not going to get better for the Dolphins. Look at their upcoming schedule like, man, this is bad. They just traded away Minka Fitzpatrick. They're 0-2 already on the season. Their point differential is minus 92. Yikes. Minus 92. You're like, oh, well, who do they play this? They play Baltimore, who borderline playoff team. Then they play the Patriots, arguably the best team in the NFL. It gets easier as they have the Dallas Cowboys coming in. They have to go to Dallas. Then they got the Chargers coming in. You have three playoff teams from last season and the Cowboys who are loaded for bear. Wait, did the Cowboys make the playoffs last year? I think they did, actually. Four playoff teams from last year. Then they get a bye week, and then they get the Redskins, which could be a game that could be competitive. Still have to go to Pittsburgh, to Buffalo, undefeated. Buffalo. Have to go to Cleveland. I have to go to New England later on this year. Yikes. Yikes. The only good news about the New England thing is it's the last game of the season, and there's a chance New England is so far in front they don't play all of their players or even most of their starters. You know, it feels like Dumb and Dumber, so you're saying there's a chance. But they're terrible. And we've had Warren Sharp on before, has sharp football analysis, and he has a hypothesis of whether or not Miami, which is in clear tank, but it might be fair to wonder if the pendulum can swing too far. Like, can you get so bad you can't recover? The hypothesis in this is like, look, if you're, and everybody knows a guy like this, some people know women like this, where they can gain some weight, like, come springtime, I crank it up, I get into shape, that way I got my summer bod going, right? You get your body going. There's some NBA players, Darren Williams used to be like this, where, you know, you get out of season, you gain 15, 20 pounds, you don't look great, and then you get ready for training camp, and all of a sudden you get fit, and you're okay. But can you get too heavy where you can't come back from it? Right? Because if you get too heavy, now all of a sudden you get injured trying to get in shape. And that's really the hypothesis about the Miami Dolphins. The Browns went 0-16, but they were at least competitive. Their plus minus first 2 weeks of the season back then was minus 17. But think about the Browns and how hard it is to recover. Everyone knows they have elite talent on this team. They were 7-8-1 last year and only 1-1 on this season. And they're not playing great football. And the Dolphins are on pace to allow the most points ever, 816 at this current pace. The current record is 533. That's crazy. Allow 96 touchdowns. Current record, 68. Score 80 points. The current record is 113 by the 82 Colts. I mean, they're on pace to allow over 14,000 yards in offense as a defensive club. The most ever was the Saints in 2012, who allowed 7,000 yards. Like, they are on a pace to be historically bad. And with 6 first-round picks in the next 3 years, 5 second-round picks, 4 third-round picks, some might sit there and go, well, they're just betting on a quarterback. I don't think so. They're not done gaining assets. And as much as Warren Sharp might wonder, which is fair to wonder, can you get too heavy where you can't get back in shape? I would argue, no, you cannot in terms of the National Football League. We've seen the Sixers recover. We've seen the Astros recover. We will see the Dolphins recover. Does it mean they have to hit home run at quarterback? It would sure help. It would help jumpstart it. But their overall football acumen is going to be tested. And they'll have the opportunity to gain pick after pick after pick. But they have 3 first-round picks in 2020. That, you know, if the first one is the number one overall and they can pick Tua or whoever they want at quarterback, they can split off those other picks and get even more and load up on young talent that's under club control, that's under a rookie contract, and they'll be fine eventually. This is a long-term reclamation project. And the Dolphins for years have been trying to fix it on the fly. Paint a wall here, put some new tile in there, just freshen things up. Get a new quarterback, acquire an Ndamukong Suh. Do these things to spruce it up. Instead, they're just starting over. And it can be a long and painful process, but we've seen the Raiders try and do it. And the Raiders run the benefit of at least having a quarterback. The Dolphins are trying to start over without a quarterback. But that actually might help them. It might help them because they won't have to tank. They're just not any good. Their offensive line is horrendous. They have two at least viable backup slash starters as quarterback. And you will find out the makeup of a man. If he really wants to play in Miami, if he can play through this, if he can play through getting beat by a combined 92 points in just two games, he can play through everything. Anybody can kid themselves into thinking it's going to get better other places. You can't kid yourself into thinking it's going to get better in Miami, and I don't mind it. Forget painting walls and putting in new tile. This is gutting it and going down to the studs, and you know what? That, if you can afford it and you got the time, is the best way to do it. Bears did this 2 years ago. Right? Do you guys remember? Like, why didn't they fire John Fox? Like, because they wanted to start over. And they did. They slowly put together a dynamic defense. They found their quarterback in the draft. They got a new running back. They got Allen Robinson, came over from Jacksonville. Like, they started over. And it's worked. The Dolphins are breaking it down even more so, but it's still kind of the same plan. And if you think you haven't seen it in football, that's okay. We've seen it in baseball with the Astros. We've seen it in basketball with several teams, most notably the Philadelphia 76ers. Speaking of the Bears, wide receiver Allen Robinson joins the show upcoming next. We'll get his sense. What was this wild weekend, wild finish like in Denver? By the way, the Doug Gottlieb Show is brought to you by Farmers. At Farmers, we've seen almost everything. So we're going to cover almost anything. When it's game time, have an experienced player help you stay out of the game. Put their experience in and play at Farmers.com.
We are Farmers. Bum, ba, bum, 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 bum.
Allen Robinson is next.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at noon Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. You know, some people live really remarkable lives, right? And our next guest actually has lived quite an interesting life. Like, I remember when you first saw him his freshman year, he played for Joe Paterno. Joe Paterno's last game, star wide receiver for Joe Paterno, then, of course, played for Bill O'Brien. Allen Robinson's lived quite an interesting life. Then, well, obviously, was in Jacksonville and had the ACL in 2017. In week one, last year after signing a big deal, had a good year. You know, 55 catches, 754 yards. A good year, but coming off the first year off the ACL is always difficult. Has yet to get back to those two, especially one really good year in Jacksonville. But got seven passes in their first game. Only four in their win against the Bears. We'll catch up with Allen Robinson in a bit. Former Penn State star, of course, now wide receiver for the Chicago Bears. He'll be our guest. Hey, you know what we'll do? Like, I want to get us enough time with him. Is Dan clear here? He's got a bunch. Let's get to a quick update on what's going on. Here's Dan Beyer.
Yeah, Doug, a bunch going on in the National Football League. First, some off-the-field stuff to get to. Prosecutors in Allegheny County, Pennsylvania won't pursue sexual assault charges against Antonio Brown because the allegations made by a former trainer against the current Patriots wide receiver took place more than 2 years ago, which was past the statute of limitations. Giants quarterback Eli Manning, now the backup to Daniel Jones in New York. SNY reports that Manning is not going to waive his no-trade clause, and that's good news to the Giants who want Manning to be there to mentor Jones. Jones and being the starter and now starting ahead of Manning.
Yesterday when Coach Shurmur told me and you know, obviously Eli as well, I think we had a conversation and as y'all would expect, as anyone who knows Eli would expect, he was nothing but supportive of me.
Giants have the Buccaneers coming up in week 3. Saints travel to Seattle to face the Seahawks. Head coach Sean Payton not revealing his cards on who's going to be the starting quarterback for that game. We do know this. Drew Brees had surgery today to repair his injured thumb in Los Angeles, and Payton says the plan is to not place Brees on injured reserve. No practice today for Panthers quarterback Cam Newton because of his foot injury. Head coach Ron Rivera did give an update on Newton's status for Sunday in Arizona. Chiefs left tackle Eric Fisher will undergo surgery to repair a core muscle injury and is out indefinitely. Chiefs running back Damian Williams sat out practice with a knee injury. Some more injury news from the National Football League. Bills rookie running back Devin Singletary day-to-day with a hamstring injury and didn't practice. Looks like Jalen Ramsey will play tomorrow night against the Titans, despite the Jaguars' corner requesting a trade earlier this week. In baseball, Cardinals beat the Nationals 5-1. Royals and A's scoreless right now in the sixth inning, while the Rockies have a 3-2 lead on the Mets in the sixth. New York trails, but Pete Alonso does have his Major League best 49th home run of the season. We'll be back to the Doug Gottlieb Show in 10 seconds, but first a word from Farmers.
At Farmers Insurance, we know there's a crucial difference between a kick drum pedal and your car's accelerator pedal. Because at Farmers, we've seen and covered it.
We are Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Underwritten by Farmers Truck Fire Insurance, exchanges and affiliates. Products not available in every state.
I saw this from Jeff Tadia of the NFL Network, who Jeff cut his teeth in Kansas City, so he has great sources with the Kansas City Chiefs. He said a Chiefs source says the team isn't interested in Jalen Ramsey now that he wants a trade. Source said the team's locker room is too good right now. And this is one of the amazing things. This is one of the amazing things about NFL players versus NBA players. I've heard on the radio, I've seen on TV this whole, no, NFL players, they're going to be like NBA players and determine where they want to go. Like, yeah, that's not really the case. I mean, Antonio Brown, his choices were between Buffalo and Oakland out of Pittsburgh. Right? Buffalo and Oakland. That's not LeBron choosing the Lakers or Miami Heat, right? That's not the way it works. Those are two of the worst franchises in the last 20 years in the National Football League. Additionally, even if you said, well, he got himself the New England Patriots for $9 million, he cost himself $21 million guaranteed. And if it doesn't work, that guy's going to be out of the league. Out of the league. So Jalen Ramsey, this is not what you saw last year in Oakland, right? When Khalil Mack wanted a new contract, wouldn't show up, and they traded him. They got two first-round draft picks. The difference is Khalil Mack has no off the field, no personality flaws at all. Dude's the first one to the stadium every Sunday, the first one to practice. Guy's a beast. Whereas Jalen Ramsey, who is a freak talent. He's a lockdown, shutdown cornerback who can be physical and can run with you. This is a lot like Odell Beckham Jr. Like, I am not going to dispute how talented he is. But, you know, last year there was some film, him quitting on the team. When they got back, because the defense didn't like the quarterback, they quit on the team. And then this year he gets into it with his coach, like, in the NFL, that doesn't work. Football, that doesn't work. It's funny, I actually had this conversation with my son yesterday. So, my son played his first ever tackle game, but this week is the last week in which new players can join the team. And they're light on numbers. His buddy hurt his hip. One of their linemen hurt their hip. So, they're like down to 14 kids. So, there's been a couple parents that were like, hey, you should sign your kid up. Like, we need more. And there's one kid he plays flag football with, very talented. But like my son was a little hesitant yesterday and I was like, what's the deal, dude? Why are you not fired up that he's signing up to play? He's like, well, I know I'm going to get the ball, but like, what will Luca think? Luca's like the other really good, talented kid. I was like, hey, it's okay to have three or four talented guys. He's like, yeah, dad, but football's a team game. Everybody's got to pull together. Like, he's totally gets the idea of it. I was like, I got it. But trust me, you want to have 20-some-odd kids for injuries, or sick, somebody misses a game. Plus, you know, like, swear to God this happened. So, I had to be on the chain gang for my son's game. It takes, you know, 10 volunteers. Somebody's got to run the clock. somebody's got to do this, and we got to have a doctor. We got blah, 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 blah. I did the yard marker. That's the most important in the chain gang, I was told. So I'm not allowed to yell. I'm not allowed to talk, coach, anything. And I'm not a coach, but like it's my kid. Normally in the stands, I'd be yelling at him, you know, do what dads do. So I'm standing next to the opposing team's coach, and the first drive of the game, my son returns the kick. He gets the first handoff. He gets like the third handoff and takes it nearly to the house, and then he scores a touchdown. It was like Hayes left, Hayes right, Hayes middle, right? So after a couple drives, the coach is like, 44! Tackle him so hard it hurts! Hurt 44! First of all, I'm like, that's my kid, and you know, I don't really want you to hurt him, but he's like, stop 44! And then, you know, they had that kid Luca was 7. Stop 44 and stop 7! So now you add another piece, and I was like, look, it'll allow you to not constantly be getting hit and harassed if there's more other talented guys. Anyway, this is a real thing. Like, this idea that NFL players can throw a hissy fit, get into it with their coach, and then get to pick their destination, like, that ain't how it works, bro. Not in football. I get it that, hey, the Chargers could use him, but the Chargers got to worry about Joey Bosa's contract. The Chargers have a good locker room. Yeah, he's friends with Derwin James, but the Chargers have been kind of a, hey, let's just quietly go about our business team. Does that mean they would take a deal? Yeah, they would think about a good deal for him. But remember, he wants a new contract. He's gotten into it with his coaches, and he's shown a willingness to quit on his team when things aren't going well. And those things don't jibe in an NFL locker room. So I don't think the Chiefs are bluffing here. I just think they're like, no, we're good. We're good. We're real good. Yeah, Ryan.
No, I just, the Chiefs are the one team where if they had a defensive difference maker, I mean, we've talked about how strong the Patriots look this year and how close they were to beating the Patriots last year. If you had a corner like Jalen Ramsey, I almost wonder if they're willing to do the whole, well, I guess Jalen Ramsey's like, if you trade for me, you have to give me a new contract. Because I almost wonder if it's like, hey, we'll give you two first-round picks. We're not going to give him a contract, but hope that we could just capitalize on the next two seasons with Jalen Ramsey and then not even have to worry about having him around for the long term.
Right. No, I mean, look, obviously, if you trade for him, you're going to have to give him a new contract. That's his thought process. So,
but to this point, and look, it could change at any point, but to this point, he said, you know, I show up and I play football, you know, saying one thing publicly.
Yeah, he also showed up at training camp in a Brinks truck.
But didn't hold out. I mean, sending the message, but didn't hold out.
Understood. He wants a new contract. Does he want to win? Yeah. He wants to play man-to-man. Like, he's making all these demands. Like, I want to be traded. I want to win. I want to play man-to-man. I want to get paid. Like, all right. Breathe, buddy. Breathe. Take a deep breath in. Take a deep breath out. Deep breath in. Deep breath out. I think what's going on in Carolina is equally interesting. You know, there's the NFC South now. Atlanta won a close game against Philadelphia, lost obviously week one. You got Tampa 1-1. They went to go and beat Carolina. But look at the Panthers and the Saints. Saints aren't saying who they're going to start. My guess is they start Bridgewater, but they're going to use Taysom Hill a lot. And then and they're going to a place like Seattle. Like, that is a hard place. They're going to have to find a way to be creative. But then you have the Carolina Panthers, who to this point have not said whether or not Cam Newton's going to be healthy enough to go. We had Charles Robinson on earlier in the show from Yahoo Sports. He had this to say about Cam Newton.
When I went through and I talked to all these personnel guys, and they always asked me in the offseason about other teams, other opportunities where GM jobs might be open, Carolina's the number one team. So many guys want to know what's going on with David Tepper, the new owner, yep, and Marty Herney, the GM. I think that's because guys know this could go south fast, and there's the ability to come in and, as you said, pivot away from Cam Newton, start fresh. it's in the mind of people out there, and I'm telling you, if there's a general manager change, I absolutely could see not only Cam being on the outs, but the coaching staff as well, and this being a new break next season.
Yeah, Tillman Fertitta is going to join us tomorrow. He's the new owner of the Rockets, and he can speak to, like, new owners. Like, look, dude, I didn't spend $2 billion, $3 billion to lose. You know? I mean, I didn't spend all this money to lose. I want to win. And I want to win now. I think we all think like these owners are like, they just want to be around all the popular guys and the famous guys. Like, look, you're not worth a couple billion dollars where you can buy an NFL team if you're not a super competitive alpha male. Like, that just doesn't happen. So they want to win. So like, yeah, I'll give you a couple billion dollars. I'll buy your team, but I want to win. Right? Jerry Jones has been quoted as saying it'd be embarrassing to see the check he would write to win a Super Bowl. Like, Jerry Jones didn't just build Jerry's World because, you know, he wanted to make money. He had to go get some more money for it. It went way over budget. Way over budget. Cost $1 million a day just to heat and cool that place. It is expensive. And it's a palace. And did it help his franchise value? Sure. But in order to help your franchise value, you have to sell the team. He's not selling the team. He wants to win. He wants to win. I want to win a Super Bowl. And all these guys, they're like, great, I want to win. Tillman Fertitta, perfect example. Look at all the places he owns, right? He owns Landry's. He owns, I think, Morton's. Houston's. All these different restaurants. He doesn't expect them to come in second. He wants them to come in first. And when you're used to winning in business and winning in life, then you're used to winning in sports. And by the way, if you buy a pro sports franchise for a couple of billion dollars, you're actually losing money on a day-to-day. You're like, wait, you want me to lose money? I'll lose money. It's fine, as long as I'm winning games. And if you're not the owner that drafted Cam Newton, it doesn't mean that much to you. Just doesn't. So, the new owner, have you ever heard this expression, owner's own? The idea of owner's own, this comes, I remember when Jimmy Haslam, remember when they selected Johnny Manziel? So if you remember, the Cleveland Browns at the time invested money in an entire analytics department. And they wanted their analytics department to find who's the best quarterback in the draft. And so they ran their numbers, and Teddy Bridgewater popped up as their best quarterback in the draft. They obviously did not select Teddy Bridgewater. And the question was why. They had planned on selecting Bridgewater, but instead, when it came time to make the pick, Jimmy Haslam said, I want John Manziel from Kerrville, Texas. Do you know why? Because owners own. Right? Owners go, yeah, that's who I want. Why? Because I own, because it's my money I put out there. My money. Pick who I want. That's who I want at quarterback. Right? Remember there was a story that some homeless guy told him he should select him? And he fell in love with the story and the idea and the swag and panache. Like, look, how different is he? Baker Mayfield is a slightly less talented, far brighter, older, more refined Johnny Manziel, more mature John Manziel. He's a better quarterback, not a better talent. Johnny Manziel's faster, probably throws a better ball, although Johnny Manziel did not have a great arm. Like all of these things, Johnny Manziel is a freak talent. But he was young, he was inexperienced, he was immature. He had, you know, he surrounded himself with people that all wanted something from. He had, you know, he was compulsive, he had addiction, he had all these issues going. Whereas Baker Mayfield, he liked to have a good time, throw down a couple beers, but for the most part, he's a grown man, grown up, knew how to play the position. But there's a lot of Johnny Manziel. There's a lot of WWE, look at me attention, but he's also just more refined as a human and as a football player. It's kind of the same thing. But the reason that if owners can call in at any time and say, do what I want. Tom Cable, who's now the offensive line coach with the Raiders, was once upon a time the head coach of the Raiders. When Al Davis was still alive, They would run all the game plans up by Al Davis, and Al Davis would send down to the coaching staff when they would install their game plans things that he wanted to see. And then he would, from his box, he would call down to the coaching staff and tell them what to do, what to change. He's a great, obviously a great football mind. Tom Cable, remember, he was the coach that got them back to 500 and got fired right afterwards. You know why? Because he stopped answering the phone when Al Davis would call during the game. And then you're like, well, why would you fire Tom Cable? Because owners own. The most interesting part about the Cam Newton thing is, what happens if he gets cut? Right? Like, we know the Dolphins need a quarterback, but they're going to draft a rookie. We know the Bengals need a quarterback, but does Cam work there in that offense? You bring in a guy who's a Sean McVay disciple, a Kyle Shanahan disciple. Cam doesn't work in that. You need accuracy. You need football acumen. And Cam Newton. Tampa Bay Buccaneers, maybe because the South. But like, wait, you're going to get rid of Jameis Winston for a broken down Cam Newton? The Raiders might need a quarterback. Would he bring some glamour to Vegas? Maybe. But do we think that he's going to be able to go? Remember, do you remember the uncomfortable interview at the John Gruden draft interview camp or whatever? Remember that when it was Cam Newton? What was this play called? Six? Like, going to struggle a little bit in the NFL. With all the John Gruden things he throws at you? I mean, Steelers are actually maybe more than anything, just because he's got some Ben Roethlisberger to him. He's always banged up. He holds on to the football. The difference is Ben is so much better of a thrower, but they both have big bodies and big arms. Colts, I don't see it. Redskins, I don't know. They just drafted Dwayne Haskins. That's their guy. Broncos, I don't know. He got, would it be an upgrade or Flacco? Maybe, possibly, maybe not. Like, I do think we run the risk if Cam Newton doesn't improve, and if they clean house, it'd be fascinating to see if and where he plays next year. And then what do you pay him if he's a free agent? Right, this is the Carmelo Anthony. This is the Allen Iverson. I don't know any MVP to come off the bench. All right, coming up next, we'll see if Allen Robinson stops by. If not, we got the press. All the stories you need to know from the world of sports next.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at noon Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. One of the wildest finishes I've seen in the National Football League happened in Denver. Allen Robinson was there starring for the Chicago Bears. Kind enough to spend some time with us. Allen, you've been through a lot, man. Been through a lot. Jacksonville days, the ups, the downs, the knee injury. Last year's remarkable season in Chicago. How would you characterize the fourth quarter Sunday in Denver?
You know, it is one of those things that's up and down. You know, again, the course of many NFL games, even some seasons, you know, are described as a roller coaster. You know, and I think that's what you saw in the fourth quarter of that game. You know, you saw a few lead changes, you know, over the span of one quarter. You know, but again, that's what we signed up for. That's what makes the game fun, you know. Again, it makes it a lot more fun. You come out on the victorious side of that, but still, I mean, that's what you signed up for.
Yeah, no, it was it was absolutely crazy. What's Trubisky like this year as opposed to last year for you?
You know, again, like I said before, I've seen him grow each and every day and each and every week. You know, since we first got back during OTA time. You know, and again, I mean, we're all out there trying to continue to improve. And, you know, again, from a offensive standpoint, you know, that's what we're really honed in to do.
Allen Robinson joining us. Okay, so everybody knows, fourth and 15, you catch the ball. I'm like, when you get up and you see zeros on the clock, did you think the game was over?
For a second, I did. I knew it was going to be just tight on time in general. You know, I thought we had enough time, you know, for me to catch the ball, you know, and to get down. You know, again, with Mitch stepping up in the pocket, you know, and stuff like that. You know, it is a second or two may go off, you know. So, again, it's hard to tell. But I thought if I caught it, you know, and was able to just get down right away that we will have a shot.
Okay, but since there's 9 seconds, like, are you counting in your head? Like, how does it how does it actually work? Because, you know, we're
no, I'm not counting in my head at all. You know, it's just something you have a feel for. You know, as you go out in the course of the week and as you go out through, you know, different situations through training camp and through film study, you know, that coach shows us or that coach may put us through, you know, that's when you kind of get a good understanding of those things.
You caught him. Like, I'm watching the play right now, and Chris Harris gets you down, and Mitch is throwing it and running and calling timeout as he's running, and they're celebrating. So, okay, so there's 1 second left, and this Eddie Pinheiro guy comes out to kick. And, like, look, dude, you've lived through this last year in Chicago with some of the kicking issues. What'd you do during the kick? Were you covering your eyes? Were you kneeling? Were you looking the other way? What were you doing?
I was on the bench. You know, I was sitting out on the bench. Again, you know, I'm not going to lie to you. After that drive, I was pretty gassed. You know, again, we had some deeper routes in that drive, so I was definitely a little bit gassed. You know, so at the same time for me, you know, we put ourselves in a situation. You know, in those situations, you know, being an offensive or defensive player, you know, for me personally, you know, being a vet in this league and have been and played in games like that. Again, it's like, you know, you leave it up to the kicker. You know, I mean, we believe in him. You know, we have a lot of confidence in him. You know, so again, it wasn't something that was, you know, too crazy. You know, I mean, we were all excited that we won. You know, but at the end of the day, you know, you sit back and you watch him work.
He told us that Tariq Cohen offered him a seat in first class. Did you offer him it? Did you offer him your seat?
Oh, I don't have a first class seat. So I mean,
what's up with that? Why don't you have a first class seat?
It's a story, but it's a story behind the first class seats week to week. You know, I don't want to expose our culture too much. You know, but it's a fun way that you know that guys can get first class throughout the course of the week.
I thought you had a good game against the Packers. I thought you should have. Okay, so you get the catch and get down in time. Do you get the first? You're going to DC this week. You guys are flying. Do you get the first class seat this week?
No. I mean, well, that's the thing. It's to be determined. You know, again, it's a thing that we do. You know, we do some team camaraderie stuff, you know, throughout the course of the week, you know, and that's how the first class is decided. You know, it's the luck of the draw.
All right, fair enough. This is your second year, second full season back from the ACL. Everyone seems to say, hey, look, with the exception of Adrian Peterson, You don't feel right the first year. Do you feel definitively different, more confident than you did last year?
Most definitely. Most definitely. You know, again, I think that is back to, you know, the kind of preparation that I was able to have, you know, coming into this season. You know, I was really able to have a whole off season. You know, like once the season was over, you know, I'm going to have some good trainers in New York that I work out with in the off season. So I did that for the first part of off season. Then we had OTA time, and then I went to South Florida, and I trained down there before training camp. You know, so I was really able to get a good regimen of training in before the season. You know, and you do tell the difference.
Last thing, I know you're a big hoops guy. Tomorrow, I have Tillman Fertitta on. He's the owner of the Houston Rockets. Do you like Russell Westbrook to the Rockets? Do you think that makes them a championship team?
Most definitely. I'm looking forward to seeing both them and the Clippers this year. You know, those are the two teams that I have, you know, in the Western Conference for this year. You know, I mean, unless they play each other before, you know, but those are two teams that I think will be the best in the West this year. I think Russell Westbrook definitely gives them a good chance to win a championship.
Yeah, I'll be interested. You know, I don't think he guards like he used to. How he plays without the basketball will be interesting. So that whole thing is fascinating. Well, listen, safe travels to DC. Hope whatever you got to do to get that first class seat, you do it. And in the meantime,
I appreciate it.
We'll talk some hoops with you in the very near future. Thanks for being our guest.
All righty, sounds good.
All right, it's Allen Robinson joining us. Go further than ever with Discover It Miles Card. They automatically match your miles at the end of your first year, so your 35,000 miles could become 75,000 miles. Discover It Miles. Limitations apply. Discover Match for new card members. Learn more at discover.com. Let's get to the press.
The press.
Sorry, Beyer. You know, you didn't have 80 catches with the Jaguars a couple years ago. I went with Allen Robinson. So go ahead.
Allen Robinson does me in again.
Beyer.
No, he did. I lost by like 30 points this week, so it didn't matter in fantasy football. I did play against him, and he hurt my cause, but I lost by
a fair share. Patriots, they haven't been losing lately, but they did lose Tom Brady to some practice time today, limited in practice with a calf injury as they get set to face the Jets on Sunday.
Calf injury. Kevin Durant hurt his calf.
Right.
Andrew Luck hurt his calf.
We'll see.
I sent out a tweet at Dan Byer on Fox that he injured it kicking the crap out of his opponents.
Very nice. That's the way to do it.
There you go, Dan. You got Sam Darnold story for me, don't you?
Yeah, says he has full confidence he'll return from mono to play in Week 5 against the Eagles, but won't promise anything. I don't know what that means, but...
I think it means he's feeling good.
All right.
Most dudes that have mono just shut it down and stick it out in their dorm room. Sam Darnold's got the best medical attention money can buy.
The four-week HBO College Football Hard Knocks series will feature Washington State, Arizona State, Penn State, and Florida. Show will debut on October 2nd and feature one of those different schools each week.
I'm fascinated by it. Just full disclosure, about 10 years ago, I had a proposal to have like a Hard Knocks-type show for Oklahoma State football. It was the year Brandon Whedon and Dez Bryant were there, and Dez Bryant actually got suspended for the year, fell through at the last second.
Sports by Brooks reports USC president Carol Folt does not want to hire Urban Meyer as the school's head football coach as Clay Helton continues to be evaluated.
So then who would they hire? Who would it be?
It's over, Johnny.
Bob Stoops? Hey, no question. Everybody knows that, certainly. Okay.
There was another Bob Stoops rumor to Auburn.
Auburn, yeah.
Sports by Brooks said that one as well. Finally, Warriors guard Steph Curry told ESPN that he wants to be a part of Team USA next summer as they compete in the 2020 Olympics.
I'm in! Steph is in. I would guess they'll all be in at the Olympics. I just don't understand why they didn't play this year. I guess Steph because of the finals and the repeat finals appearances. Hey, get out there and press!
That was the press.
All right, listen, you're going to listen to a lot of radio, and I'm not trying to dismantle other people's arguments. But if you're listening to an argument about whether or not Eli Manning will get into the Hall of Fame, stop listening. Don't change the channel from Fox Sports Radio. He's getting in. He won two Super Bowls. He's in New York. His last name's Manning. They all get in. I'm Doug Gottlieb.